Blog Talk Radio.
And hello and welcome to this week's episode of Christmas Recap. I'm your host, Eric Ward. I do apologize for not airing a show for a couple of weeks. Sometimes it's real life gets in the way. But luckily, didn't miss anything too major in going over things, with the exception of some release. Cody Rhodes, his wife, Edie Styles. Yeah, that's what her stage name was. But you know, she's been released as well, but that's true. And Cody asking for his release, actually the day before Extreme Rules, which I was fortunate enough to buy tickets to go to Newark, New Jersey, and watch the show. My first actual pay-per-view live that I attended since In Your House Mind Games in 1996, where Shawn Michaels was in the main event. So I had a good time. I'm going to go over that show. I'm going to spend a few minutes before I get into Extreme Rules and then Monday Night Raw. NXT. I'm going to talk about the death threat. I stated a few weeks ago, I liked what they're doing with Mike Bennett and Drew, or which is Mike out. Excuse me, Mike Bennett and Ethan Carter III. Easy for me to say. So I like that feud. I like the EC3's Road to Redemption. At the end, him getting the opportunity to wrestle Mike Bennett. Of course, the final match, do a little curveball. EC3 facing Matt Hardy, and he had to pin or make Matt Hardy submit in order to get his rematch. Now, if you're going to have that kind of match, you have to be doing a qualification match. You're going to have that situation. I thought that was stupid because then, kind of comes down for tears. EC3 wins by disqualification. And I'm assuming, it's a phone call. Didn't really do much on the Road to Redemption, considering a lot of the companies are going to want to come to me. Like Bully Ray, Sting, those guys, Kurt Angle, those guys aren't in WWE, or in Impact Wrestling, or in WWE. So that makes EC3's Road to Redemption fall apart. But I didn't like anybody long enough to say. Keep the long-range storyline going. So who knows how Mike Bennett needs to be there. And you've got all this heat. You don't want to build it up too long and then never have the match happen. So I get that. I hope that before in October. But it being not in June yet, that was the match. And that may have been, because this is the landscape may have changed by then. The company may not be around then. With the financial statement, basically funding TNA tapings. Who knows when that's going to stop, and they're not going to have a show anymore. They've changed networks 3 times over the last 3 years. They're unable to really keep the contract because they haven't been able to pull the ratings. I think some of those ratings are those guys like. Someone like me, I DVR Impact Wrestling every week, and I usually watch it on Wednesday afternoons. And so, I don't know if my DVR can watch it if I can't towards Impact Wrestling in their ratings. I don't know how that would count. I don't know how, in the DVR world, how ratings are affected by DVR. So the only thing that DVR plays is sporting event. You've got to watch that. But wrestling shows, especially, look, if you're going to tape the show, if you start showing it live, but as long as you're going to tape it, I like that angle that they're doing, and I like, what they're doing with the World Heavyweight title. Drew Galloway and Bobby Lashley can face each other. at Slammiversary. It's going to be a good show. I'll tell you right now, I'm not planning on wearing it because I have the WWE Network, and so I watch all their pay-per-views, but I'm not ordering. In this day and age where I know I can watch a WWE pay-per-view for $9.99 a month, you know, I get every pay-per-view, you know, I can watch their vast library, I can watch it whenever I want. I'm not going to then be able to justify order Impact Wrestling's pay-per-view, which is going to be a lesser problem. It just is. And then, you know, to get a lesser product, and I have to basically watch it on their time. You know, I can DVR it, but then what's the point? So I don't plan on watching it. I'll watch the recaps of it, and I'll bring it to you. I'll talk about it here on the show. And for those of you who are planning to watch it, I think it will be entertaining. You know, for if anything, for those two matches, and then the Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy. I really like the dark, disturbed Matt Hardy, even though he has the fake accent that is really lame. I like everything else about the character except the way he talks. So Matt and Jeff, I think, have a good match. As long as he's not too focused on being that character and doesn't bring, you know, the usual Matt Hardy. If you want to change up some of the moves, I'm okay with that, but it better still feel like Matt and Jeff fight, because the fans, I think, deserve that, especially the people who are going to order the pay-per-view and watch it live. Yeah. And hopefully they'll throw up two matches. Those are the three matches that I know about as of now. And maybe we'll have a King of the Mountain match. We know Eli Drake, another character who I really enjoy. He's got a... you know, he's got his money in the bank briefcase, the Feast or Fired briefcase, which is, I don't know who started it first. That's where I don't know Impact Wrestling's history to know if they started the Feast or Fired before Money in the Bank was started. It's a good concept. You know, the Feast or Fired giving you the three briefcases that give you championship matches, and then the one that is fired. I've typically been able to predict who's the one getting fired because somebody, you know, isn't that useful to the company. And, again, I hope they bring back a Feast or Fired match after they use up the last Feast or Fired briefcase, which I believe the only one left to use is the King of the Mountain title match. Because they had the world title match, and Drew Galloway won that. The tag team title match, which I believe James Storm won that. Either Storm or Bobby Roode. I mean, they're not even on in that. So, that was, you know, this is the last one. He cashes the King of the Mountain Championship. And then, hopefully soon after that, King of the Mountain match. So, anyway, you know, long story short about TNA right now. I think Slammiversary should be a good show. There are three good matches. Hopefully they come up with three other good matches or so, three or four. Yeah, like the King of the Mountain Championship match, a tag title match. Just to spend enough time. I'm going to move on now to Extreme Rules of the Dead of 2010. And I thought it was a very good show. The Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho match, the Asylum match, was decent. It was boring at times. Just the feel from inside the arena, I thought it was boring at times. But, you know, Dean Ambrose jump off the cage, and then the Chris Jericho going for a code break and being thrown down on the thumbtacks. Good ending to the match. Made the match very good. But the real highlight of the show, the Fatal 4-Way match for the Intercontinental title, I think that's a chance to win. Considered, you know, match of the year potentially. That was a very good match. And of course, the world title match, AJ Styles challenging Roman Reigns. And let me tell you, from being in attendance, that crowd did not like Roman Reigns. Now, I don't know, most of the time they make it at least sound like he's getting a mixed reaction. There was no mix in that reaction that Roman Reigns got. He was booed amongst chants of "you can't wrestle." When he would do a good move, chants of "you still suck." Which, I mean, to me, it reminds me a lot of the way they forced that The Rock when The Rock was trying to be the traditional babyface. Thank you. Let Roman Reigns beat his song. He deserves to be doing everything the right way. Let him be pissed at him. I would love to see some game from him with him basically ripping the audience. He didn't take any shortcuts. He got his way to the top, even though shortcuts were offered by Triple H way back. Roman Reigns had earned the number one contender spot. He could have just gone to the front line and faced whoever came out of the tournament, but he chose to go through the tournament, which I thought was dumb. So, and maybe that's part of the problem. The number one contendership spot, so he deserved to be the guy that wrestled for the world title. You know, they could have had the whole tournament go to Dean Ambrose to win the tournament and then have Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose at Survivor Series. But I think that's where it kind of went downhill for Roman. Fans were not happy when he won the Royal Rumble in 2015 in Philadelphia, which I was not happy with it. I wanted, since he'd never lost the title, he had to forfeit the title, and he then got his concussion and had to retire before he ever got his chance to wrestle for the championship again, which is a real shame. Again, the Daniel Bryan story is full of tragedies, but, you know, I think that's where the Roman Reigns train went wrong, and I don't know quite how else to bring it back on track, unless you were to maybe have Roman cut a skating promo where he talked about how he didn't take any shortcuts, earned his way to the top, and all he's done is get booed as well. You know, a bleak view kind of moment. And maybe he forms like a Roman Empire. Maybe, you know, him, the Usos, and see if he can get somebody else. Maybe you can bring somebody up from NXT and give them a chance to help out, sort of be with Roman. And, who knows? I mean, I think they could do. I think they can do some stuff with it to make it look good. Turn Roman Reigns heel. And, all right, I think, you know, you could turn Roman Reigns heel, and it could really work well.
And he could really be that badass that you wanted him to be.
Now, if you're sitting at home and you want to get called in and talk about, you know, if Roman Reigns turn heel, or the rest of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which I thought, like I said, I thought it was really good. 668-8724. So, you can feel free to call in, and we can talk about the Extreme Rules. We can talk about Monday Night Raw. We can talk about Money in the Bank. Which Monday Night Raw, again, that was a good show. I really enjoyed the qualifying matches. I like the explanation behind it, saying you can't have the wrestlers put in Money in the Bank, and now guys are going to have to earn it. And I thought they should have been doing that. They should have been making them earn it. Curious as to what they're going to do. You know, you could have a six-pack challenge of second chances. All the six guys who lost their qualifying matches, and the winner of that to go to Money in the Bank. You could have a Battle Royal. Could just get tuned in to say, like, John Cena or Randy Orton's returning. Which I thought Randy Orton was supposed to be set to return in July, but, you know, it's June's a week away, so it could certainly be that Randy Orton's coming back in June. Monday Night Raw was very good. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles match was very good. I liked the club. If you weren't going to really let the club be the club, I think it's better that you just let AJ, separate himself from the club. I think there's a good chance that Finn Balor
you know, comes in. Especially, like, I thought the club should have interfered and cost AJ Styles the match. And then let AJ get a tag partner, Finn Balor, as a part of the club, AJ Styles. And then I thought, you know, Money in the Bank, you could have AJ Styles, Finn Balor versus the club, or versus Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And I thought Finn Balor turned on AJ Styles would be good. And Finn Balor becomes, you know, Finn Balor becomes this guy that they beat the club with Gallows and Anderson. That you could then set up, you know, maybe Battleground phenomenal matches. So I liked that. I think the promo that AJ and Gallows and Anderson made, but they didn't use it towards anything. Kicking Ric Flair out. You knew Ric Flair was going to stick around very long. Right? Actually, stuck around long. I thought he would. I knew that I figured they would use the whole Ric Flair being banned from ringside, the match at Extreme Rules, as like their lead into Ric Flair just not being regularly. And I didn't know that they would go the promo route of, you know, Charlotte basically, you know, telling off her dad, which I think it's interesting. I'm sure that there's a lot of children of wrestlers who don't feel the exact same way, but they'd feel a little abandoned, just like many pro athletes who aren't there for their kids, you know, upbringing. And if you watch the show Total Divas, it's the reason why John Cena doesn't want to have kids, because he doesn't think he could be the father that he'd want to be, and because he's always broke, why he said he doesn't want to have kids, because he doesn't want to be the father of his kids. And so I get that. So that was a little bit of real life, I think, crossing over. Again, I don't think that it's all authentic, but I do think there is something authentic about that, that Charlotte did, at least at times, feel that way. And Charlotte had her demons. She's married to Graham, you know, in a bad marriage. You know, she was living with her brother Reed, who, you know, y'all know passed away. That she's here basically but I think, you know, up the Flairs, your David Flair, of course, wrestled great. And then when he trained to really try to really get good at it, I just don't think he ever really had. He didn't quite have the personality. He was shy. And of course, I'm sure that came with some expectations, and that probably made him a bit of an introvert. You know, some people handle those pressures differently. David certainly handled them differently than, you know, Reed and then now Charlotte. Ashley, who, yeah, it's a real name, is, you know, she's able to put on this character of Charlotte, and it's quite believable. She's outspoken, and she doesn't have that. I don't know, David always seemed stiff to me, seemed too quiet, too shy. Didn't seem built enough to really be, like, he never really struck me as a type that this was going to be his thing. Whereas with Charlotte, once you saw, like, what the hell? She's got superstar written all over. You know, when she was part of the BFFs with Sasha Banks and Summer, you know, I think everybody saw that. She was a star. And it's funny, usually in a group like that, you have one star merch. I think that's two star. I think they're setting up for a Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, maybe at SummerSlam. And if that were to happen, Charlotte would break for the longest title. They'll be woman, diva, I guess it's a lot of merit. No, women's title again. The Fabulous Moolah held the women's title for, what, like 20-something years? So, you'd have to say long-term women's champion of the modern era. Mm-hmm. And, again, part of it, they could always talk about Mom was still the women's champion. We should march her out there with the women's title and have title matches. It almost seems like they'd forget about it, that she can't.
Which, of course, then, the emphasis at the time, there was no emphasis on women's wrestling. So that's unfortunate. But there is now, and the women's revolution, diva revolution, it turned into, what they call it, the divas revolution, which turned into the women's evolution. The evolution of Charlotte has been remarkable to watch. And I guess this is just another phase of breaking away from daddy. I think it'll be entertaining to watch. So the women's championship, you know, most of the major things that happened on SmackDown. You have other qualifying matches. Money in the Bank, Alberto Rio qualified. I'm excited to see him in it. I hope they do something good with him. I really do think it's going to be Kevin Owens winning Money in the Bank. That's my prediction. But I wouldn't be surprised if he were Dean Ambrose. I think he would cash in. And I'd like to make that kind of leader for that. When's he going to cash in? And so anytime you see, you know, the champion get in trouble, you have Seth Rollins in the ring, fight, if Roman does drop the title to Seth, which, again, very excited to see Seth Rollins back. That was a big thing that happened in the Extreme Rules, where a good match with a great ending to a pay-per-view with the return of Seth Rollins. And I wanted to wait here until the last 5 minutes or so to talk about that. Seth Rollins. When he, you know, coming back, attacking Roman Reigns, now getting his championship match at the title he never lost, torn ACL and MCL, you know, cost him 7 months, and now he's back. I'm very excited to see him back. You know, showed up on SmackDown, I thought, very funny, you know, with the whole, oh, I guess you guys missed me, I wish I could say the same. He's trying really hard to be hated. And it's funny because the fans love him for his pure athleticism and entertainment value, which I appreciate his entertainment value as well as athleticism. And so they just find him more entertaining than Roman Reigns. And despite how much they're trying right now with the whole, like, him saying he never opened any of the fan mail supporting him, he's trying really hard to get booed. And instantly he gets the booze, but then as soon as, you know, him and Roman Reigns, you start their collision, he's getting cheered again. You know, it's just they're booing that moment, not necessarily him. And I think they're booing that their boos are more of a statement towards WWE is, let us have what we want, which is Seth Rollins, Dave Biggs, and Roman Reigns, the heel. Because I do believe that at Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins will be cheered and Roman Reigns will be booed just as he was. Extreme Rules. You know, when they go to Las Vegas, it's going to be, again, I think the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is going to be good. And you know, that's going to be a very good show with the two matches we have so far, which are, of course, the Money in the Bank ladder match with WWE Championship. You know, we'll have a match with Tom. He'll be looking strong. Again, SmackDown, Alberto Del Rio earned his way in. We're going to find out how we're going to, you know, who's going to be the seventh person in the Bank match. NXT this past week, I felt like it was a good show. They debuted a new team, TM61 or the 51. It'll be the 51 or 61. Again, it's like maybe I'd have taken it a little more seriously if they won their debut match. They lost to Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And as much as I like Tommaso Ciampa and Anthony Gargano around the independent scene, so I really think WWE should and NXT should have let them get a win in their debut match. Well, I mean, it's going to be easy enough to fix if they want to. They put them in. Matches happen. In NXT, you have a lot more freedom to
enhancer match, enhancement match, as they used to be called, which I want to debate that topic. They're building up towards the next takeover, which I'm excited for. You're going to have the first steel cage match in NXT history, Samoa Joe defending the NXT Championship against Finn Balor. That'll be a really good match. I think it's going to end with Samoa Joe getting the win. American Alpha, which is my favorite tag team, not only in NXT, but also WWE, they're going to defend the NXT tag title against the Revival. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who they might be my second favorite tag team in WWE right now. Both those teams could easily be called up to the main roster right now. They wouldn't miss a beat. Could either one could wrestle the new tag and have a match. We've got about a minute left. I'm not going to get into any new subjects. I can't think anybody listening. And, you know, if you're listening and you want to call in and get your opinions, you're certainly welcome to. In the next show, and I'm going to give the call-in number again here, 646-668-8724. So you're certainly welcome to call in. Appreciate it. And you could listen in. I don't know if it's going to be live. Call in. Or excuse me, if you're listening live or you're downloading later on, certainly feel free to call in at speed. So thank everybody for listening, and I will see everyone in the podcast. All right, and we appear to be in the podcast. So the subject matter I was just talking about was the enhancement match idea. I like the enhancement matches. They're a good thing. I wouldn't mind seeing some enhancement matches come to, you know, say Raw, you know, SmackDown. And, you know, I think they could be a good thing. But, you know, again, it's going to depend how they use them. I don't want it to go back to the days of you get one good match on the show, and then, you know, it, like, for example, Raw 3 hours. See, you know, opening segment leading to your main event, nothing but filler crap, which is, you know, nothing but enhancement matches. I don't want it to see that. But, you know, if they were to do one or two enhancement matches with local talent, like to put over tag, you know, the way they did it with the Ascension early on, I didn't think it was a bad idea giving the Ascension a lot of matches like that, you know, the enhancement matches. Now, JBL mocked them and then brought up, you know, hey, nobody else gets this. Why are these guys, why the Ascension getting these matches? And it was a good point, because if you're not going to use it for other people, you can't just use it for one team. But I wouldn't mind, you know, like they had the Shining Star. They made their Raw debut. And they win, again, in an enhancement match. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that, you know. Especially, I think it's good to put over heels, especially guys who, you aren't quite, I'm not sure what you're doing with him yet. Like, if Paul Roots, he'd be a perfect guy to put in enhancement matches, babyface, some enhancement matches. You could. Yeah, there's certainly a number of guys who would be great at, you know, using for that role to get them, you know, to elevate them, just to get some wins under their belt. And I think it'd be a good way to, you know, to get your young talent with their hand raised. Because I think lost now is the idea that you can develop a young guy. Like, what I don't want to see, and it sounds like they're going to do. I'm excited about SmackDown going live in July on Tuesday nights, which to me is another attempt to try and knock out Impact Wrestling, because Tuesday nights is their night. You know, which they intentionally move, they've been moving their shows around to avoid WWE shows because they don't want to divide the audience, because they know they can't compete with WWE right now. And WWE seems to keep wanting to, you know, Thursday nights was Impact night, while WWE SmackDown was Fridays. It's a SmackDown moves to Thursdays, and so SmackDown says, okay, let's go to Wednesday. Well, WWE has NXT on Wednesday, so they say, okay, let's go to Tuesday. And now, you know, SmackDown's going to be on Tuesdays, and I'm wondering if we're going to now have if we're going to have Impact Wrestling moving to later in the week, maybe to Thursday nights, to, you know, set the balance back, right? Which, I mean, look, if you're a WWE exclusive fan, I don't like the idea of SmackDown being on Tuesday nights, because then you have, if there's a pay-per-view, you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then you've got nothing the rest of the week. Because, I mean, NXT, you've got Wednesday night, but that's, you know, guys who aren't on WWE programming. But then, you know, Thursday night, again, you know, maybe you could have Impact on Thursday, but then there's nothing Friday and nothing Saturday, too. So basically, you go from Tuesday night, and on the weeks where you don't have pay-per-view, you go Tuesday night, and you don't have another WWE show until the next Monday. Which is a hard sell. I mean, to me, it's hard then to get momentum going when you're not showing to win. You know, it was easier to go Monday night, you have Raw, you have SmackDown, then on Thursdays. I actually kind of like to go on Fridays. But, and then if you had a pay-per-view on Sunday, it kept you interested all week. Now, you need to go Tuesday night, you have SmackDown, and then no WWE shows until Monday Night Raw, actually, if you don't have pay-per-view that week. And, you know, 6 days with no wrestling, you know, a lot of people are going to kind of, you're going to spend the first 2 minutes of Raw being, oh, wait, what's going on now? You're not really remembering, you know, the storyline from the last week. Which I think is part of the problem, too, that Impact Wrestling has, only having one show. And it's quite easy for you to have guys not wrestle for 3-4 weeks at a time. And especially if you have them wrestle the way they're taping the shows, taping 3 episodes at a time. You tape 1 episode, you have a guy wrestle, and say he gets hurt in the first week, you know, maybe not a serious injury, but one that will end his night. Well, now he's off for 3 weeks. You know, that's, he's off TV for 3 weeks before you get him on air again. Which is a challenge with having so much time in between tapings. Because you tape 3 episodes, you know, one night. Or they know they're doing like 2 or 3 nights of taping, which they would tape like 2 or 3 episodes a night. And basically, in a 3-day period, you're taping at least 6 weeks worth of product. Well, I mean, then what? I know the idea is that a lot of their talent is indie wrestlers, and they, you know, will wrestle on the independent scene. But then you don't see them for a while. I think WWE is going to enter the same kind of problem in the sense that you have 6 days of no wrestling. And but for them, I understand why they're doing it in the sense that they want to have the brand extension, which I hate the brand extension, but I understand what they're doing. You know, they want to, if you're going to have Raw Live, you have SmackDown tape, and then try to say it's equally as good a product, it's going to be the B show. I really hate that they're doing the brand extension. I know I'm in the minority, so I'll certainly welcome people calling in and trying to sell me on it. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna talk more about this on the live next week, but I really think the brand extension idea that's gonna be late July, I think, is when they're gonna do it. I'm not looking forward to that. I think it's gonna suck. I didn't like the first brand extension, but that sucked. The best thing for me was the draft was kind of a cool concept. And I enjoyed that part of it. And it's on their draft shows. I kept looking forward to see who's going to be changing shows. But in the end, like, I remember still thinking, like, don't insult my intelligence. You're WWE, whether you're Raw or SmackDown, WWE. And if you want to have, you know, a guy work with another guy, and one guy's on Raw, one guy's on and I think you're going to make it happen. And to stop insulting us, stop putting up this imaginary barrier where, oh, you know, if you're a Raw exclusive, you only wrestle the Raw guy. You know, like, I remember within months, they break that up in the first time. Chris Benoit drafted to SmackDown. And within months, he, you know, when he came back, showed up to Monday Night Raw, and they supposedly made some kind of trade. I forget the, but again, they wanted to use Benoit on Raw then, because they had made a trip to Edmonton, and that's his hometown, and so they made it happen. So I know the brand extension doesn't mean they're not going to take whatever's going to happen. So are we going to have two world champions again? I thought that was dumb. Because then, inevitably, somebody, you know, the winner of the Royal Rumble, they're going to challenge to the WWE title, or they want the world title. Are you going to have one champion wrestle on both shows? I think that would be the only logical way. But then, when that champion, the first champion, say if it's still Roman Reigns, when he loses the title, what, you know, how do you then determine what show he's going to be on? Again, like, a lot of things to figure out. I don't like the brand extension. I don't think they have a roster to use the brand extension. You know, right now, listening to the top of my head, and this is a really long run for him, normally, you know, show up, you know, shows up at Royal Rumble, wrestles at wrestling, maybe one more pay-per-view, and then he's usually gone. I'm surprised he's going to be in, you know, if he's going to be in Money in the Bank. Yeah, he's qualified for Money in the Bank. So I would have to believe that he'll be done soon after Money in the Bank. So there you go. Then you're going to be down to two heels here. We're going to split up the two heels. And so you've got one guy, you know, you've got Kevin Owens, you've got Seth Rollins. As the two top deals. They're going to main event. And God forbid you want to turn either one of them. I don't think it's a good idea. They're going to do what they're going to do, but, you know, let it be noted here. I'm saying I think it's a bad idea. You know, if you listen to my other shows, you know, where I co-host Billy Mack, Billy Tom, you know, this is around the time where we normally get cut off. I'm going to make sure to end the show with a couple minutes to spare, just so that doesn't happen. And yeah, I appreciate everybody for listening. Just a big, quick tease. I'm going to view a new list next week on the podcast. In the podcast version, I'm going to tease it on the show. But we're going to be revealing my top 100 matches of all time. Yeah, I'm going to try to do this where I reveal a top 100 of something, but it'd be superstars, matches, you know, pay-per-views, what have you. I'm going to reveal my list and start next week to reveal matches 100 through 91. Or, yeah, 100 through 90, and then the next week we'll do the next 10. Now, we're going to do 10 matches each week, culminating with the number one match in, I guess, what is that, 5 weeks? Yeah, so 5 weeks. So we're going to start that next week. So again, look forward to that. Hope everybody is listening. You know, hope you enjoyed the show. And I will see you all next week. So everybody, enjoy your wrestling week.